The headlines this hour: Israel stepping up its crackdown on Palestinians following Friday's retaliatory attack in occupied Al-Quds that left 7 Israelis dead. For the fourth consecutive week, Tel Aviv witnesses a massive rally against the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his policies. And amid protests in the U.S. city of Memphis, authorities disband the special police unit whose officers fatally beat a young black man. Thanks for joining us. Israel is taking a range of escalatory measures in response to the shooting attacks in occupied Al-Quds. Those include making it easier for Israelis to obtain gun permits and encouraging those with licenses to carry their weapons. The regime also said that it will demolish the homes of suspected Palestinian attackers and revoke certain rights of their families, including their social security benefits. Israel has also promised new steps to expand illegal settlements in the occupied West Bank. The Israeli military is also sending more troops into occupied Al-Quds. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had earlier pledged a, quote, strong, swift, and precise response to the deadly shooting attacks. He said the regime is prepared for any scenario. Israeli forces, meanwhile, have killed yet another Palestinian man near the occupied West Bank city of Nablus. The man was shot dead near the Kedumim settlement east of Qalqilya. Israeli media claimed the Palestinian was in possession of a gun and suspicious of carrying out a shooting operation. This as Israeli troops are on alert following two shooting operations in occupied Al-Quds. The first incident happened on Friday when a Palestinian man killed 7 settlers near a synagogue there. The second happened on Saturday when a 13-year-old Palestinian boy injured 2 Israelis. The incidents follow an Israeli raid on the Jenin refugee camp in the occupied West Bank that claimed the lives of 9 Palestinians on Thursday. Our correspondent Ramallah, Mona Kandil, gives us more details on the Israeli regime's most recent act of deadly violence against Palestinians in the occupied Al-Quds.
The 18-year-old Karam Suleiman from the village of Qusin, west Nablus, was shot dead by the Israeli forces as he clashed with the Israeli forces near the illegal settlement of Kedumim, east Qalqilya. It seems that Palestinians know very well that in reaction to the ongoing and non-stop Israeli illegal practices and policies and crimes, then they are left with nothing but to be adherent to the choice of resistance. Now, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu last night convened a meeting for the security cabinet, and after this meeting, they decided a number of issues. Netanyahu promised a strong, swift, and precise response in the wake of the operation that was carried out by a Palestinian, Khayri Alqam, 21-year-old from Al-Quds, that left 7 Israelis killed and a number of others were wounded. It's the deadliest operation in years, according to the Israeli military.
There are no signs of a let-up in Israeli aggression against Palestinian people. The regime demolished the home of a Palestinian citizen in the south of occupied Al-Quds. Israeli authorities also sealed the home of a Palestinian who was killed in a recent anti-Israeli operation in Al-Quds. Israeli settlers also set fire to the home and vehicle of a Palestinian in the northern occupied West Bank city of Ramallah. The Israeli regime has been pressing ahead with demolishing Palestinian homes as part of its land grab policy. Israeli settlers, backed by the regime, also keep raiding and destroying Palestinian property. Tensions are running high in the Israeli-occupied Palestinian territory. Shooting operations have now become regular occurrences, leading to high casualties among Israelis. Palestinians carry out the attacks, retaliation for deadly Israeli raids in the occupied West Bank. The Israeli crimes have been met with the silence of the international community. ¶¶
The situation in Israeli-occupied East Al-Quds remains volatile after a number of shooting operations there took the lives of at least 9 people and wounded several others. In the latest incident, 2 Israelis were wounded in an operation in the Silwan neighborhood of Al-Quds on Saturday morning. The Israeli Emergency Medical Services said one of those injured was in critical condition. The shooter, identified as a 13-year-old Palestinian, was wounded. The incident was the second Palestinian operation in Al-Quds in less than a day. On Friday, at least 7 people were killed and several others wounded in a shooting operation outside a synagogue in the Israeli-occupied East Al-Quds. Resistance movements held the option. The Al-Quds Brigades, which is the military wing of the Islamic Jihad movement, praised the attack as a courageous operation. It said the attack was a natural response to the Israeli occupation and the regime's crimes against Palestinians. The Al-Quds Brigades said the operation is a testament to unity among resistance groups. Hamas also lauded the operation. The movement said the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will pay the price for any new mistake that Tel Aviv could make. Lebanon's Hezbollah and Yemen's Ansarullah movement also separately praised the action. The Friday incident followed a Thursday Israeli raid on the Jenin refugee camp in the occupied West Bank, where at least 10 Palestinians were killed in cold blood by Israeli troops. Thursday marked the deadliest day for the Palestinians since the start of the new year. Israeli troops barred medical teams from reaching the area. Regime forces also stormed a hospital in Jenin and intentionally fired tear gas towards its pediatrics department. Separately, Israeli forces demolished a sports club in the refugee camp. All what is going on in the occupied territories is happening in the silence of the international community. The mainstream media closed its eyes to the deadliest Israeli raid on the Palestinian community in the occupied land this year, and instead, they took the side of the Israelis in the recent tensions. From the United States to Germany, to France and Ukraine, almost everyone expressed concern about the lives of Israelis during the recent violence.
Israel continues to escalate its violence against Palestinians with no end in sight. But what is the regime ultimately trying to achieve? Does it hope to put an end to the Palestinian operations? Or is it effectively committing ethnic cleansing by stripping Palestinians of their identity and removing them from their ancestral land?
The storming of the Jenin refugee camp is indicative of the regime's aggressive nature in dealing with Palestinians, especially since the emergence of extremist ideologies in the Israeli cabinet. Many argue that the current Israeli cabinet is the most extremist ever since its installation in the occupied land. What highlights this extremism is the recent storming of the Al-Aqsa Mosque by Israeli far-right minister Itamar Ben-Gvir. Many brand the minister's move as the root cause of all the recent tensions between Israelis and the Palestinians in the occupied territories. The latest flare-up of Israeli violence in the occupied West Bank brings to the question the regime's motive behind such escalations. One presumption is that the regime is only after taking out the total Palestinian identity from their land. In order to do that, what could be better than suppressing them by imposing an all-out blockade on millions of Palestinians and blocking their access to the outer world? To support that presumption, it is enough to say that the Israeli cabinet is planning to deport Palestinian families, at least those who the regime deems as terrorists, from their own land. That's why it pushes ahead with its policy of demolishing Palestinian homes. Many are convinced that this amounts to utter collective punishment and ethnic cleansing. There is no doubt that what the Israeli regime is doing now in the occupied land, in terms of demolition and other practices, will definitely backfire. What could be around the corner for the Israeli occupying regime is yet another intifada waiting to happen. After all, Palestinian resistance has entered a new phase and so many young people are taking part in the operations against the Israeli regime. Grassroots Palestinians with no affiliation to any of the resistance groups are rising against the regime, like the Den of Lions. The Den of Lions is an independent armed Palestinian group operating in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. The group emerged in August 22, following the killing of a Palestinian man by Israeli forces. Anti-Netanyahu rallies are being held on a weekly basis, with protesters not caring about what is happening to the Israelis in the occupied land, but rather taking aim at a prime minister who is indicted on graft charges and is willing to evade laws to do whatever he can. All in all, point to a situation where things are pulling the Israeli cabinet apart and move the regime to an ultimate annihilation.
Tens of thousands of Israelis have hit the streets of Tel Aviv for the fourth consecutive week to protest against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's judicial reforms. Protesters chanted slogans and held banners depicting Netanyahu and his ministers. They expressed their disapproval of what they called a fascist cabinet and his proposed reforms meant to increase political power. The Israeli cabinet says the reforms are needed to curb overreach by activist judges. That has drawn fierce opposition from groups, including lawyers. Netanyahu returned to power as the head of a coalition with extreme right and ultra-Orthodox parties. The cabinet is planning to hand over more powers to lawmakers in appointing judges and overriding the rulings of the regime's apex court. The coalition also intends to intensify the expansionist policy with more settlement units in the occupied West Bank. 5.9 magnitude earthquake has struck northwestern Iran, killing three and injuring hundreds more. The quake hit the city of Hoy in West Azerbaijan province late evening, and aftershocks continued for several hours. It left many buildings partially or totally destroyed. Relief operations are underway despite cold weather. The Iranian president's first vice president has ordered the mobilization of all possible resources to help affected areas. Iran's Red Crescent says 417 tons of aid, including tents, blankets, and food, is on the way to the region. Just weeks ago, the region was also rattled by a 5.8 magnitude quake, which left hundreds injured. Iran sits astride the boundaries of several major tectonic plates and experiences frequent seismic activity. The Iranian Foreign Ministry says Canada's government should answer for its dark history, as more graves of indigenous children are discovered there. The ministry spokesman says the latest findings point to a great human tragedy that can only be described as genocide. Nasser Kanani said such crimes took place in a country whose government hypocritically seeks to portray itself as an advocate of human rights and interferes in the affairs of other states. An investigative team has found 66 more potential unmarked graves at a former residential school in British Columbia. That brings to 159 the number of graves found at that particular school. Canada forcibly sent more than 150,000 Indigenous children to residential schools between 1831 and 1996. To assimilate them into white Canadian society. Truth Commission found that thousands of students died of malnutrition, disease, and neglect in those schools. Around 2,000 graves have been uncovered so far. Following a week of desecration of the Holy Quran in the Netherlands and in Sweden, UK Muslims have joined global protests to vent their anger and hurt. Sweden's embassy in London was the location targeted for the demo, which saw Muslims burning flags and reciting Quran verses.
Hundreds of angered Muslim protesters converged on the Swedish embassy in London to condemn the recent desecration of Islam's holy book. Protesters came from across the UK in order to make their upset clear and to pressure European governments to take anti-Muslim hate more seriously.
This is the latest example of a protest to take place as anger across the Muslim world remains incredibly high. This week alone, there have been numerous Quran-burning protests and promises by right-wing activists to continue the pressure. As the protests continue, the anger will continue to grow too.
We live for Quran. The Quran is very respectful. The Holy Quran is not our word, not our book. It's the book from Allah, then has to be very respectful.
This should stop because this is our human right, as well as the European laws, as we are living in European continent. The European laws states that every religion and their religious leadership must be respected.
On Monday, a Dutch politician tore apart a copy of the Holy Quran in the city of The Hague. It followed an incident in Sweden where a politician burned a copy of the Quran outside the Turkish embassy. these extremists have been receiving authorities' permission to conduct the heinous acts, even provided police protection under the guise of freedom of expression. Mosques, Muslim-strong residential areas, and embassies belonging to Muslim countries have all been the target of these Islamophobic incidents. This blatant state facilitation of anti-Islam extremism has led many Muslims to feel vulnerable in a continent which claims to defend minority and religious rights. Robert Carter, London.
The U.S. city of Memphis has disbanded the special police unit whose officers fatally beat a young black man. Memphis Police Department said it was in the best interest of all to permanently deactivate the unit. That came after protesters took to the streets in Memphis and other U.S. cities. They demanded justice for the death of Tyre Nichols after a video was released showing police violently arresting the young black man. He died a few days later after the incident. The five officers involved in the incident have been charged with murder, assault, and kidnapping, amongst other charges. Police brutality against the people of color has been a major source of public outcry in the U.S. This issue was most prominently thrown into the spotlight after the police killing of George Floyd in 2020. And with that, we come to an end for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 29th, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world. Here we've received reception reports from Tarek from Bangladesh, Nico Genoves from Italy, and Klaus Huber from Germany. So Tarek, Nico, and Klaus, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read your emails. From India, we've received an email from SM Najim. From Bangladesh, we've received an email from Muhammad Tasliuddin. From Austria, we have an email from Harald Seuss, one of our old and regular listeners. Heikki Puranen, one of our old listeners from Finland, has sent us an email. But the last, but not the least, is an email from Ratan Kumar Pal, one of our old and regular listeners from India. So after a short break, I will be back with these great emails. Welcome back. So, as I said, SM Najam from India has sent us an email. Let's see what SM says. Dear friends of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. I have been a shortwave listener since long and DXing also. Now I follow your web program on social media. I follow IRIB because it is our third eye to see and feel the Islamic Republic of Iran's history, arts, and culture, people, places, and travel destinations. IRIB is my one and only source to gather information about the Islamic Republic of Iran. IRIB's programs are up to date, to the point, well discussed, and well analyzed, which gives me a true picture of Iran and its point of view on various national and international issues, events, etc. I'm very interested to know more about your country. That's why I am a fan of IRIB and its website, which gives me a lot of information about your country. We have taken the decision to hold a listeners' conference and DXing exhibition in our area. In this conference, we will invite local people and we'll request them to listen and follow the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting and your program. Hope the conference will be helpful to increase the listeners and followers of IRIB. Salam and warmest greetings to you, SM Najam from India. And please accept our warm appreciations and gratitude to you and your team for writing this email. Thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. So please accept our electronic QSL as verification. As you said, IRIB is the most reliable source of getting information about the Islamic Republic of Iran's development. Thank you. Thank you very much for your support and commitment to our radio. We wish you all the best for you and your team, SM Najim from India. And of course, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And Heikki Pronen from Finland, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Heikki says, "Dear friends, I had the pleasure of listening to you broadcast at 20:57, your local time, on medium wave. The reception was very good. Good signal strength, a very slight interference from the unidentified radio station. A very slight noise, but no propagation disturbance. Almost like to listen to the local radio station. I enclosed the MP3 sound file recorded during the listening. Please listen to the clip and kindly verify my reception." Salam and warm greetings to you, Heikki Pranen. This greeting comes from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and I do send my appreciations to you for this email. Thank you for letting us know your views about the quality of the programs. So please accept our electronic QSL as verification. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And after a short break, I will be back with you with other emails from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back. From Bangladesh, we've received an email from Mohammad Tasliuddin. Mohammad says, "I am a regular listener of your radio station. Thank you for your cooperation and friendship. I send you my warmest greetings. I like your very nice culture. Thank you for your programs. The radio is my life. Please send me a few items representing your radio." Salam and warmest greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Mohammad Tasliuddin from Bangladesh, and please accept our warm gratitudes and appreciations for sending this email to us, and thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification. For the time being, we cannot send you the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio because we are in the time of pandemic. So, for the time being, please accept our electronic QSL as a kind of souvenir from our radio. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Mohammad Tasliuddin from Bangladesh. And from Austria, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Harald Seuss. Harald says, "Dear staff of the English department of IRIB, I could listen into your service shortwave. If you have the possibility to send me a QSL card about this transmission, I would be very happy. Thank you a lot. And sending you best greetings from Austria, your listener, Harald Seuss." Salam and greetings to you, and thank you very much for this email. Of course, we sent electronic QSL to all our listeners as verification. Thank you again, Harald Seuss. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program, your program. And again, from India, we've received an email from Ratan Kumar Paul, one of our old and regular listeners. Ratan Kumar says, "Dear friends, I am a regular listener of your station from West Bengal, India. I always enjoy listening to your programs and sending my reception report. Please verify my reception report with your printed QSL cards or EQSL and send some promotional items for me. Thank you. Salam and greetings to you. And thank you very much for this email, Ratan Kumar Paul. Thank you for your commitment to IRIB English Radio. And as you may know, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio to our great listeners around the world at the time of pandemic is not possible. So, at the time being, please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Ratan Kumar Paul from India, we wish you all the best. And we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Thank you again. And here we come to the end of our program. But before saying goodbye, I do send my warm appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Tarek from Bangladesh, Nico Genovese from Italy, Klaus Huber from Germany, Muhammad Tasliuddin from Bangladesh, Ratan Kumar Paul from India, Harald Seuss from Austria, S.M. Najem from India, and Heikki Puranen from Finland. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special and IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. God bless and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to the program for humanity. We are looking at the human traits, and specifically the bad human traits that the Quran warned us about. The traits that me and you should not indulge in. Why? Because the consequences
are very severe in the outside world. They would manifest themselves to the outside world and harm other people. The trait that we were discussing in previous episodes was jealousy or hasad. We discussed many aspects of this moral vice. We got to the point where we are discussing the causes of this moral vice. And obviously, by looking at the symptoms, we're trying to diagnose and obviously treat ourselves. So if we know what causes it, hopefully we can get rid of it. One of the reasons of people becoming jealous of others is that they have the fear of losing something. So sometimes when two people try to fight over one thing, sometimes jealousy comes in between and a person becomes jealous or a hasid of the other person just to make sure he does not get what he wants. So sometimes you see this happens between two, for example, brothers who are trying to get to their parents. Okay, I want to make myself more beloved to my parents than my other brother. Or sometimes you see this happening between students. Sometimes you see this happening between relatives, right? Mothers-in-law, and so on and so forth. The Quran gave us a beautiful story, and He Himself, Allah, the Almighty, the One, the Only, He said, Ahsanul Qasas, the best of stories. And that is the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. The whole misery of Yusuf, him being thrown in the well, him being in the castle of Fir'aun, him being imprisoned, him being tempted to commit the haram, him having to be away from his father for a number of years, the misery of Ya'qub, Ya'qub losing his eyesight for 3-4 times, and the whole story, Allah calls it Ahsanul Qasas, the best of stories. And obviously the story is beautiful anyway because you need to look into it. And all of this started with jealousy. They said the brothers of Yusuf, they looked at their brother. So 11 of them or 12 of them, they looked at Yusuf. And they said, Yusuf, أحبوا إلى أبينا منا. He is more beloved to our father than us. How dare he? Then they sat down and they have planned to kill their brother just so they can become more favored in the eyes of their father. So they were seeking his favorism over their brother Yusuf. So they thought, if Yusuf stays with our father, then we will lose our father to Yusuf because obviously he loves him more than us. So the fear that they had of losing their father's love pushed them to first kill Yusuf. But then one of the brothers says, no, let's not go that extreme. Let's just throw him in the well. So you can see that hasad itself will cause a lot of misery for other people. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program for humanity. So we said hasad is a problem. So one of the causes is fear that we have that we might lose something or someone might beat us to it. So what we do is we have jealousy in ourselves and our hearts and then we manifest it into the outside. So we have to be very careful that when we have other people and we have competitors on the outside, we have to be very aware not to cross the red lines and the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, تِلْكَ حَدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the limits of Allah. فَلَا تَتَعَدَّوْهَا. Do not cross it. Another reason is pride, takabbur. And this pride notion began with Iblis and continued. So Iblis, or Shaitan, Satan's main problem was jealousy and pride. Now, when it comes to us as well, sometimes we have too much pride in ourselves. So we expect people to be below us. We expect people to follow us. We expect people to, treat us differently. And when we see someone being treated nicely and with honor, that makes me jealous of them. I should be the one who's respected, not him. So you see that we have issues and problems. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. Now obviously when Allah revealed the Quran, they were very jealous of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, why would Allah reveal the Quran to a man who's poor, who's orphan, he has nothing? Allah should have revealed to a person who is of a great power, a person of a great status, a person who is very well known, and so on and so forth. So this was their expectation because of their pride. They could not accept the fact that Allah couldn't reveal His Quran or His religion to a person who does not have these things, or a person who does not have any status in their measurement. So that's a problem. That sometimes when we have pride, our pride leads us to doing jealousy and hasad towards other people. One more and we will end with this. And this ta'ajjub, right? We have also a sense of ujub in ourselves. We take too much pride in ourselves. And, you know, say, who are you compared to me? For example, it says, مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلُنَا. When Allah sends a messenger, it's like, who are you? You're just human beings like us. فَقَالُوا أَنُؤْمِرْ لِبَشَرًا مِثْلُنَا. Do you want us to believe in a human being just like us? So they had this عجب in their nafs. They had this pride in themselves. But why would I listen to them? وَلَئِنْ أَطَعْتُمْ بَشَرًا مِثْلَكُمْ إِنَّكُمْ أَذَا لَخَاسِرُونَ. And if you are obedient to a human being like you, then surely you are at loss. That was their ideology, because they had so much pride in themselves and ujb in themselves. They said, well, you know, Allah should send us angels, not human beings like us. So if we have that ourselves, we have to be very, very careful. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Limelight.
In 1960s, Burkina Faso became a self-governing nation within the French colony. Today, it has announced the decision to end diplomatic relations between France and Burkina Faso. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to RT, Burkina Faso has demanded the withdrawal of French troops stationed on the territory of the West African nation. Local media reported recently citing a government decision. Relations between Paris and its former colony have been on a downward spiral for months now, with the local population blaming France for their security problems. Agence d'information du Burkina AIB reported that the government of Burkina Faso had suspended 2018 agreement with France, which regulated the deployment of its service members in the country. Paris now has 1 month to remove its troops, the agency said. France currently has 400 troops in the African country who are stationed there as part of efforts to combat terrorist groups in the region. Recently, hundreds of people protested in the capital city of Burkina Faso against the foreign military presence, chanting anti-French slogans. This and similar demonstrations have been fueled by a popular perception that French troops are unable to protect civilians from the terrorist groups who are active in the northern part of the country. The protests took place in the wake of the expulsion of the French ambassador to the country, which has undergone two coups since January 2022. In November, French President Emmanuel Macron officially announced the end of anti-insurgent Operation Barkhane in the Sahel region, which has been largely viewed as a failure. In doing so, France also vowed to reduce the exposure and visibility of its military forces in Africa. The Sahel is a region in northern Africa that includes Senegal, Mauritania, Mali, Burkina Faso, and a number of other neighboring countries. Paris ended another military mission in neighboring Mali last August, after relations went sour, with the government calling France's military involvement not satisfactory. According to the website of Asiana Times, the French military has been stationed in Burkina Faso for fighting against terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda and ISIL. The AIB said the military government suspended 2018 military accord that allowed the presence of French troops in the country. No comments from France have come yet. Despite their presence on Burkinabel soil with huge equipment and their power at the intelligence level, they couldn't help us defeat terrorism. It therefore was time for us to get rid of them. And that's what the transition government is doing with a lot of boldness, said Passamade Suadogo, a prominent civil society activist, while talking to the Associated Press news agency. Ibrahim Traoré has been sworn in as interim president of Burkina Faso several weeks after Paul Henri Sandaogo was removed in a coup. Our aims are none other than the reconquest of territory occupied by these hordes of terrorists, he added after taking oath in October last year. Burkina's existence is in danger, he said. We'll be right back. Widespread protests were seen in Africa's poorest nation-state, rallying in the capital, demanding the expulsion of the French envoy and the closure of its military base in Burkina Faso. Mohamed Sinon, one of the organizers of the demonstration, said, "We are a Pan-African movement and we want cooperation between Burkina Faso and Russia, but also the strengthening of friendship and of cooperation with Guinea and Mali." The rally is a way to support the president and the national security forces in fighting terrorist affiliate groups. Similar coups based on independence from France have occurred in the last decade in Africa, which has become a source of inspiration for Burkina Faso. Mali, Niger, and Chad are some examples. In Mali, the last of 2,400 French troops stationed there left in August after 9 years of so-called fighting with terrorist groups.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at an important topic. This is a topic which is very necessary, especially for religious people. A lot of times, religious people, they become almost too religious. They become extremists in religion, and you know, to the point where they forget their daily responsibilities, their duties towards, you know, their kin, their families, their parents, their, you know, even their children and things like that. And so it's necessary to kind of explain to them that moderation is something which is desirable in worship and in religion. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been narrated as having said, "Verily, this religion is firm, so penetrate into it gently, and do not arouse aversion for Allah's worship in His servants, that they may become like shattered riders who have neither gotten further in their travel nor have any drive left to continue." And Imam Ali alayhi salam also said something similar regarding this. The hadith from the Prophet is with respect to moderation in how a religious person should deal with others. Like, for example, for his children. Do not overburden your children, with respect to religion, if they cannot perform it. However, this next one is about a person's relationship with his self. You know, if a person wants to become better, more religious, closer to God, you know, how he should do so. You know, he should do so gradually and slowly and in a moderate way. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Cajole your soul tactfully to worship, and be gentle with it, and do not force it. Make allowances for both its weariness and its activity, except for the daily obligations that are incumbent upon it, for it must fulfill them and undertake them at their prescribed times." So basically what he wants to say is that do not force yourself to perform recommended acts of worship. Like, for example, a good example is, you know, the Salatul Layl, the night prayers. There's a lot of virtues which have been narrated regarding this act of worship, right? But if somebody just cannot muster up the energy and the strength to get up at that time to recite this prayer, you know, then he shouldn't force himself to do so. And he should limit his acts of worship to those acts of worship which are obligations and which are necessary for it. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at moderation in worship in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, both with respect to moderation in worship with respect to others, as well as with respect to oneself, and also in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Once again, we bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Joining us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.